Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You're about to listen to another proud presentation brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs. Stand out from the crowd. For more information, visit RevengeLover.com and mention the podcast for 10% off of your order.
You've entered Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast.
Welcome to episode 13 of Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast. That's right, we are back. We have been gone for like a month hiatus, a little bit longer than a month actually, because there really hasn't been that much news. But again, we're back, and we are on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. It's time to catch them all with your host. I'm Kyle, also known as Deadpool, and I'm Team Pikachu Sucks.
And I'm Doug, also known as Doug Watchin, and I'm Team Pikachu Surfs.
That is the best answer possible. That's right, folks. We have a third laugh right there. That is Brian, aka Shuken Shinobi. He has gained more than 8 badges to walk through the Victory Road.
Darn right. Several sets at this point too. It's great.
I'm sure
more than qualified.
Beaten the gyms multiple times just because you can. Wish that was the actual thing. To listen to the show, you can find us on 4EyedRadio.com, Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zune Marketplace, all the Earthlings are doing it right now, BlackBerry Podcast, Blueberry Podcast, Miro Guide, PodDirectory.com, Double Twist, Swell Radio, Player FM, and Google Play Music. This podcast is brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs. Illustrations and design that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RevengeLover.com.
Oh my gosh, I can't keep it in. If you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, skip ahead 15 seconds now. But how great was that thing? How great was that? There was a Zune in that movie.
Okay. I was telling you, Doug, but like the second I saw that happen, I'm like, this needs to be in the show. This just worked out perfectly for us.
Everything paid off.
I know, right?
It did.
We're so ahead of the game.
You put it on there just for Star-Lord. You're so nice.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the stock in Zoom Marketplace actually went up for once.
Right?
But again, anyway. We are back after a month hiatus because, again, it's been slow news. Few things have been happening here and there, but nothing really to inquire an actual episode. And you might encounter this with us in the future because obviously, you know, sometimes we just don't have anything to talk about. But quite a bit has happened. Pokemon Go went through an Easter event since then and a grass event, which was a little weird. But congratulations to Team Mystic, who caught the most grass Pokemon.
Yeah, represent!
What happens when you have like 93% of the population?
Hey, now you're not wrong.
Let's be fair here. Instinct still has all its members. We haven't lost anyone yet. Mystic and Valor have lost dramatically a lot of their members. Mm-hmm. They're still ahead of Instinct, but we still haven't lost any members.
You know, When I saw the final numbers of how many people or how many Pokemon each team caught, I was so ashamed because the grass event should have been like my event, but I barely went outside during that event.
See, where I'm from, we already have so many grass Pokemon in the area. It really wasn't much of a difference for us. The only thing it did was just increase Chikoritas for me. So now I have a Meganium.
Yeah, I got one of those, but I got one of those right before the grass event. So. Cool, Pokemon Go.
I was hoping to maybe get a few more Scythers so I can get ready for my Scizor, but I didn't see a single Scyther.
Bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did finally actually hatch one of my 10K eggs from the Easter, or my 10K egg that was supposed to be that was in a 2K egg that I got from the Easter event, and I got a Miltank, so that was quite fun.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Still holding out for a Heracross and an egg, but...
Good luck.
Keep on waiting.
I still haven't gotten any of those out of my region Pokemon in eggs. None of them.
If anyone wants to support a trip for us to go to Miami for a brief weekend or two, so this way we can catch Pokemon, we'll even sign into your Google accounts and catch the Heracross for you.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah. Just send us $20, and if enough people send us money, we will go to Miami.
Victory Road, on location, in Miami. We're taking our talents to South Beach.
Just for Heracross.
And then we'll work out the details on getting a Corsola, Farfetch, Mr. Mime, and whatnot. But Heracross comes first. So, how have you guys been?
I'm pretty good. What have I even done since we've talked last? Probably not as much Pokemon stuff as I should have. But, yeah. Been doing all sorts of things. I don't know. I haven't been as diligent about my Sun and Moon stuff because it's been, you know, a while. So I've done a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Kyle did tell me to watch the Pokemon anime and where to watch it, and I didn't because I'm a fail. Okay. So I'm going to be very little help, okay. But I'm working on it.
Okay. Yeah, at least we're all caught up with at least episode 3. Mm-hmm. That did air here in America yesterday as we record right now, but for those who are listening later, Saturday, May 13th. I believe they're actually doing like the first 9 episodes.
Yeah, there's like one every day until next Saturday.
Yeah, ooh. and then they're going to go weekly like they usually do, which is nice. I'm still surprised Disney XD is doing this.
Yeah, did we learn anything about like why that happened or how that happened? I mean, I guess the how is easy to figure out, but why?
I mean, the only thing I can think of, I mean, I don't know for sure or anything, but the only thing I can think of is that the contract was up with Cartoon Network and they were tired of it being on Cartoon Network because Cartoon Network is terrible. So they moved to Disney because Disney has deep pockets.
Yes, that's true. I mean, soon enough, would it be such a terrible thing if Disney bought out Pokemon?
Well, define buyout. You mean like just the anime or like the entire...
Like if they were to actually own it, like they do with like Marvel and Star Wars and stuff like that.
That's an interesting question.
I think it's kind of difficult because it's technically Nintendo's and I don't think they're ever going to let it go.
Yeah. But I do think, I don't think it's necessarily ever going to happen, but I don't know that it would change much other than their marketing potential.
Okay. Because, I mean, maybe if they at least, now that they're showing the show on their channel,
mm-hmm.
would it be such a bad thing to go to Disney World or Disneyland and actually see someone dressed up as Pikachu in the park?
I would like that. You run into Pikachu and Stitch just hanging out.
Yes.
Good for me.
Or even just have like a special thing in Disney World and Disney and all the Disney parks where you can find exclusive Pokemon there for Pokemon Go.
That'd be cool. You know, go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, Disney's a really fun place for Pokemon Go.
Yeah?
Good to know. Good to know.
There is stops everywhere. There is spawns everywhere.
Nice.
It's a good time.
Imagine. Their exclusive could be a Pikachu wearing a Mickey hat.
Oh! Because there are Disney locations all over the world.
I want it.
Oh, man.
Come on, guys, make it happen.
I know. I'm going to have so many Pikachu unit with so many hats, and I'm going to love it.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they did not release like a special Pikachu for Easter with like bunny ears or something, because I don't think I could do that again.
I was wondering.
So soon.
You know, like, what's the next thing they're going to do for promotional Pikachu? Is it just going to be Christmas again?
Maybe Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
Pikachu with a witch hat. All right.
I would like that.
Or Pikachu wearing a pumpkin or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something. But you're probably right about that one, Brian. Probably going to be a witch hat.
Witch-a-chew. All right.
I yes. like it.
Yeah. Again, I'm waiting for the fire event.
Yes, it's please.
Gotta, it's got to happen.
I finally evolved my Vulpix, so that's out of the. So I'm done with Vulpix. I'm done with Growlithe. I need to work on Ponyta. Still need to work on Slugma.
Yeah, I still haven't. I'm like maybe 6 candy away from evolving a Slugma. I got 3 of them pretty quickly after Gen 2 entered Pokemon Go, and I haven't hatched any since.
I've only ever gotten 1 Slugma.
Same.
I need more Cyndaquil. That's what I need. I need to evolve my Cyndaquil.
I actually have a Cyndaquil, and I actually have a Quilava now. So
jelly.
Yeah, I do have a Quilava. I went and visited my friends in Ohio, and a park near them was a Cyndaquil spawn.
Oh, nice.
And so, unfortunately, we couldn't stay there too long, so I got enough to get a Quilava, but not enough to get a Typhlosion. Mm. And the spawn rotated. It was Slugma last they checked.
Oh, my
God. So I don't know what it is now, because the spawns have rotated since then, but... Good stuff.
Guess I'll have to go back to Ohio. Oh, no.
Did you guys see my status I had put up on Twitter?
About what? The Quilava you found in like your backyard?
No. I had opened up the game, and there was a restaurant right down the road from me, maybe about a minute drive. But you can still see on the Pokemon map, and it said that there was a Quilava at its Pokestop. Now, it's like 8:30. I'm watching Arrow.
That's right. I do remember this.
And so I see it, and I'm like, oh, the struggle right now. I'm like in the middle of Arrow. It's going really good. I don't know what to do. So I hop out of my bed because I'm watching upstairs. My wife is downstairs watching Survivor.
Yeah!
Yeah!
So I hop out of my bed, and like I'm just watching Arrow by the doorway, just waiting for a commercial to break. So this way I can run downstairs, hop in my shoes, grab my car, and then just go. So I get there, I catch it, I come back. I missed maybe like the first 30 seconds back from the commercial break, and I was like, yes. Success.
Impressive.
May or may not have broken a few speeding limits, but it was worth it.
They're just guidelines. It's fine.
Yeah. Officer, there was a Quilava. You don't understand.
And that's when he ran away to go find the Quilava, too.
Do you think it's still there? Woo!
But I gotta say, that was like the biggest dilemma, because I'm like, do I or don't I? Do I or don't I? I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm proud of you. So, you did it.
Thank you. And it was a nice level, too. So this way I'm like, okay, sweet. Now I don't have to waste any candy on evolving Cyndaquil into Quilava. And I can just focus on Typhlosion now. Just need to wait for a nest.
Score. I need to go outside today. Like, just in general, but specifically. This might be the longest I've gone without, swiping my, whatever, Pokestops. I don't think I've ever gone more than a day, because I usually the next day I'm like, oh crap, I forgot yesterday. So then I make a point. I don't think I've swiped a Pokestop in like 3 days.
Oh man.
Oh, Niantic.
If I break my streak, I get really upset.
I know. Normally, that's how I am.
I only just need the Sunstone, but for a while now, it was working in my favor, where I'd be like, okay, sweet, it keeps giving me the items that I need. Well, the final week, I'm just waiting for that last Sunstone so I can finally get Blossom. And I get 2 Dragon Scales.
I still don't understand how you got 2 of them.
I don't know either. It just popped up. It was like Dragon Scale, Pokeball, Ultra Ball, Potion, Dragon Scale. I'm like, wait, what? And so I'm like, that's got to be like a glitch or something. So then like I go to my journal just to make sure, and it shows me the 2 Dragon Scales. I'm like, I don't want Dragon Scales. I already have a Kingdra.
Hey, it was a glitch. It was a great glitch.
I need King's Rocks really bad.
Yeah. I think I still need one of those. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm done with King's Rock. I got my Politoed, and I've got the Slowking.
It's the only thing I still need is two of those.
I have
everything else.
And then I have the upgrade. So all I just need is one more Sunstone, but I'm like, I need a break from this because honestly, trying to make sure I spun a Pokestop each day because there's not really one on my way to and from work and whatnot. It was getting kind of exhausting.
I can hear Brian's cat purring.
Yeah, he's I think people like a couple houses down can probably hear him purring. I had made a statement the other day, I forgot where exactly, but it's basically if I guest on a podcast or record my own podcast, you'll always hear this guy. Always. There's no way around it.
Hey, I'm not mad about it.
He's currently just sitting here bashing into my hand, going, hey, love me, pet me.
Episode of Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast, we will have Brian's cat as a guest.
You'll just hear various, like... I'm just in the background going...
Oh.
So, hey, if you can talk, buddy, then that's some pretty significant skill there. You can capitalize on that. Make some money. Yeah, we'll put a coin on your head. He's already kind of the right color, so...
Nice.
And he has the right expression on.
Terrified. But I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say for Pokemon Go. I've been playing and spinning my stops because there's literally one outside my house.
Oh,
so it's like right down the street as I'm leaving the complex. So it's really easy to hit. All I have to do is go somewhere that day. So like that's not a problem. I've got like all of my items except for King's Rocks to evolve. I just haven't evolved anyone yet. So I've got Onyx set up for Steelix. I've got Scyther set up for Scissor. I got Kingdra already. I got Porygon 2 already. I don't have the King's Rocks, and I got a Sunstone for Sunflora. So I'm all good for everything that's not Politoed and Slowking. But I'm ready. I just don't have the King's Rocks.
It'll happen.
But other than that, Guardians Rising came out. Have been buying everything promo related for that set because I gotta have my promo cards.
I'm still behind on promo cards. It's not even funny.
It's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up. But I ran two really large pre-releases for the set at my game shop. That went really, really well. Not as much as we were hoping, but one hit 60 and the other hit 48. So between the two, it wasn't too bad at all. So we're really happy about that. I got two boxes out of the deal, so had a ball opening those, and I think that's about it. Got some new Pokemon toys from Japan.
What did you get from Japan?
What'd you get?
They're in the other room, but it's the it's a Alolan Raichu and Pikachu figures using their Z moves.
Nice.
Ooh.
And it comes with their Z crystals. And it's the only way to get those Z crystals right now. So I had to buy those, and then I was pleasantly surprised by how awesome the figures were. So I'm like, hey, this is a win-win.
How many of the Z crystals are out now? Is it just the types plus those two, or are there other ones as well?
It's that all the types are out, both in Japan and domestically. And then in Japan, you can also get a set with Mew, Snorlax, and Eevee. And then there's another set with Incineroar, Primarina, and Decidueye.
Okay.
Nice.
And then there's the two, the Pikachu figure and the Raichu figure, each have their Z-Crystals. If you don't want to get the set, Incineroar, Decidueye, and Primarina are going to get figures, too, in that same style.
Yeah!
So those are going to be cool. I'm probably going to end up getting those too, just because the figures ended up being so cool.
I hope Incineroar comes with a wrestling ring.
That'd be really cool. And the Tapu one comes with some sort of weird kids DVD activity thing.
So all you comes with a promotional CD-ROM.
Sounds like all you really need now is going to be the Musharna when that, or not Musharna, but the Marshmallow Pokemon that's coming out.
Marshadow and
Marshadow, there we go.
Ashes Pikachu are the only two Z crystals that don't have toy releases yet. So,
huh? So did you have to get another tablet thing?
Like they don't make one, but I'm at the point where I'm considering getting a second Z ring just to get another little tablet thing to put them in. Because right now it's like I got the tablet. It's like it's right here. I got the tablet thing with all the Z crystals. It looks really pretty. And then I got like these eight other ones that are just sitting here right now. I'm like, well, you're going to go in a sack. So you have nowhere to go.
I want the tablet, but then I know I'm going to have to try to find all the Z crystals too.
They're pretty easy to find at Target. So,
yeah.
And they're not that expensive.
Oh boy.
Worst words to ever say. So, I know Doug and I, we decided to split to get a box of Pokemon cards Guardians Rising coming out, which huge thanks, Doug, because I don't think I could really tell myself to spend $100 on a box.
Same.
So, I'm going 50-50, literally. really, actually, it works out perfectly for us. I already opened up my cards. Don't worry, folks. We're not going to do another live stream. So, it's safe.
We still have to release the first one.
Oh, yeah. I could have done that during our month hiatus as like episode 13, but oh well.
Whatever.
But I did not find the secret rare in my half, so hopefully it's in Doug's half.
Ooh! That'll be exciting. And,
like I told you, I also included something extra.
Oh my god!
The package with you, so
surprise. And it is a surprise because I don't know what it is yet. And the worst
is fun.
I was telling Kyle it's probably over in our mailroom right now, but our mailroom's not open on Saturdays, or Sundays, or Saturday. It's worst.
It's terrible.
I know. It's just cruel.
It's like, just give me my mail.
Right? I'm going to break into that room. No one.
Just leave a note. I took my mail.
Thank Done. You. Bye.
Nice. But I did get some pretty cool looking cards in my set. Let me see here. Flip through it real quick. Gee, Kyle, why don't you have this thing set up before you guys start talking about this? I don't know.
Just being prepared is not as fun as being ill-prepared.
It's for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we wouldn't have this laughter of me not being prepared.
That laughter right there. There are a lot of cool sound effects happening, too.
My dog just sneezed.
So far, my favorite card in this entire set is Politoed.
Ooh.
It's pretty cute.
The card art's really cute. I have no idea what's in here.
It's reverse holo, but I still love it.
Ooh.
Don't the reverse holos are really pretty. I like the Sun and Moon reverse holos.
Yeah, yes, I like them.
I like just the effects that they have with them. I also got reverse holo Victini.
Oh.
But my GX cards that I got the Wishy-Washy GX. Yeah, it's just fun to say Wishy-Washy. And I got the one GX card I really, really wanted, Vikavolt.
Yeah, ooh. MVP.
How lucky.
I don't know how good the card is, but I love Vikavolt as a Pokemon, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also got the Sylveon GX.
Ah, nice.
Nice.
Ah, Sylveon's so good. I hate it.
But I did get and then I got a few other rares. Like I got the Goodra rare, Solgaleo, Drampa. So, I gotta say, like, I'm really digging this deck. Like, they finally, I think, like, they just included a whole lot more of the Pokemon that you didn't get in the first Sun and Moon set. Like, you got the Oricarios.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Are all four of them in there?
Yep.
Nice. Yes.
I have the electric one and the psychic one so far.
That's awesome.
Everyone's favorite ice cream cone is in here.
Yay!
My boy.
Alolan Geodude and Graveler.
Nice.
My favorite Glalie is in here as well.
Glalie. Ugh. I don't actually have anything against Glalie other than in Pokemon Shuffle, is it? I don't know. Whatever the game is I play on my phone, it took me like a month to pass that. Mm. So I now have a grudge. Yeah, against Glalie. Because it's a punk.
I mean, that so far, I mean, like, I got some pretty nice pulls out of this whole thing, so I'm quite excited about that. And then a bunch more of energy cards, which still annoys me that they don't have the numbers in the bottom corner.
Yeah, when did they stop doing that?
Sun and Moon.
Sun and Moon.
Oh, this is the first time. Okay.
Yeah, they're just generic
energies. Huh. Except for double colorless.
Yeah, special energies are all set exclusive, but the basic energies are all just generic. They're the same ones you get in the theme decks or anything else.
Which I get, but now I'm kind of just like, well, now I don't really have a special spot, so I just have like the very last page will just be all the like one of the energies each.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put one at each at the end of Sun and Moon. I'm not doing anything for Guardians Rising because they're the same card.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then on my very last page, I have my Toys R Us exclusive Cosmog, and I forgot to go to Toys R Us yesterday and get my exclusive Alolan Voltex card. Exactly. But I'm playing Kingdom Hearts, so you really can't blame me for that.
Thankfully, if you do want it, those usually don't go for a whole lot on the aftermarket. They're like a couple bucks.
Yeah.
So.
But overall, I'm really happy with this set. Again, thank you, Doug, for going 50-50 with me.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you.
definitely cannot wait to see what you get, and hopefully we can trade or something like that if I have cards that you need and vice versa.
That would be so throwback, and I would love it.
We'll do an entire next episode will just be you and me be like, all right, you want this card? No? Okay, I want this card. We'll just do
Pokemon trading, go fish.
Alright, I'll give you 5 commons for your 1 rare and we'll call it even.
Okay. Oh yeah. Definitely not worth. Yep. Yep. So I guess since I haven't seen any of them and I haven't looked at like the set, what are the big highlights or what are the big things about this set? Is there anything distinct about it?
Define distinct, you mean like cards that are really, really good?
Yeah, yeah. Game-changing.
Sylveon is the hype card right now. Everyone's going bonkers over Sylveon. Alolan Ninetales is pretty good as well. Tapu Koko. Those are probably the 3 biggest decks that are popping up, I think, is Sylveon, Ninetales, and Tapu Koko. Tapu Lele is the most expensive card in the set. No matter what rarity it is, the base Tapu Lele is about $35. The full art is, I think, around $50, and then the hyper rare is about $65 to $70.
Wow!
So that is the key card in this set because it's pretty much a 1 to 2 of in every deck. Because of its ability. Its ability lets you, when you play from your hand onto your bench, you search your deck for any supporter card. And that is huge in this game. So you can just play a bunch of one of supporters, you play Lele down, and you search for whatever it is you want, and then you fling it off on turn one, or late game, should it be late game, whatever it is. So everyone's all nuts about Lele. But deck-wise, yeah, it's Sylveon, Alolan Ninetales, and Tapu Koko are the 3 biggest ones that are popping up and people are being really hyped about. There's still good cards in this set. Turtonator GX is good with Volcanion EX. People are still trying to toy around with Vikavolt. Like I was saying before, I like Vikavolt. He's cool. Drampa's all right. Toxapex is all right. What else is in this set? Wishy-Washy's kind of trash, even though I love him. Like, his card is just flat-out terrible. Like, oh, I love Wishy-Washy as a Pokemon, but his card is
what are they
trash.
Doing in card form? Because his ability in the game is so kind of strange.
So, it's really stupid. I'm trying to remember the wording off the top of my head, but there is a normal Wishy-Washy that basically says, like, you can pick him up and play a Wishy-Washy GX from your hand and replace it with it, which I don't get. I mean, I get as a mechanic, but I don't understand the relevance of it because it really makes no sense. Both are basic Pokemon, so there's no real reason to use the normal one. Because all cards that would get you a basic Pokemon or do something to a basic Pokemon still work on the Wishy-Washy GX.
Right.
So it's like I don't see any advantage to doing this whatsoever other than they were tasked with the concept of trying to put schooling into the card game, and this is all I could think of.
I feel like there's got to be something better you can do. Like,
well, what if, like, say, you don't have the Wishy-Washy GX in your hand yet. You put down Wishy-Washy. It somehow magically survives the next turn. And then you, the next card you draw happens to be Wishy-Washy GX. Now you can play it.
But you could just play the Wishy-Washy GX normally.
Yeah. Yes, but you didn't know it was coming. And now that you know it's coming, you can get rid of this thing because it was all you had left. And now you got something super powerful.
I guess. Kind of.
Just search.
That's
for
the
it,
only scenario I can think of.
I feel like some sort of schooling thing would have been easy if it were like, if you happen to have, you know, however many basic Wishy-Washy, you can pull a better one from your deck. I don't know, because I know you'd have to change. It'd have to be a very specific mechanic just for that one Pokemon. But I still feel like you could have pulled it off. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they've done mechanics in the past for cast form, and did Rotom have a mechanic? I don't think so. Deoxys did as well. I don't think they ever did a mechanic for Rotom, but I know cast form did and Deoxys did, that you could switch between different forms.
Yeah.
By searching and swapping them out and stuff, so
yeah.
It's not like it would have took a whole lot, but
I think if it had said you can pull the Wishy-Washy GX out of your deck,
yeah,
it'd be different.
But oh, absolutely.
Like from your hand, so.
Yeah, it's from your hand, so it's like.
I got nothing.
That's so weird. Can you swap it back?
No. I don't think so.
That almost would make some sense, right?
Almost? I mean, I don't know why you would want to.
I don't know. I have no idea. That's so weird. That's really strange.
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, because like when I first saw it, I was like, oh, you can search your deck for Wishy-Washy GX and switch them. I'm like, okay, that's been done before. That's fine. But it's like from your hand, and I'm like, why? Just play it as a basic Pokemon. This doesn't change anything.
That's so strange.
So I have no idea, but whatever.
Oh.
Stupid Wishy-Washy. Of course, that's the hyper I got in one of my boxes, was Rainbow Wishy-Washy. I'm like, great.
Nice.
I feel like there's a lot of lost potential there. What are you doing, guys?
Yeah. Yep, definitely. There definitely is. And like all of his attacks, like you could never use because they take like 5 energy.
Oh my gosh.
So, speaking of the Pokemon cards and whatnot, in Japan, they are releasing a faux leather deck box with EVs.
Yeah, they are.
going for 2,160 yen each, about $22.
It's not bad.
And you have all the evolutions on it, and I gotta say, I really want Jolteon, but no surprise there.
I need Umbreon immediately, like right now. Like I would actually get it if it wasn't for the fact that trying to get Pokemon Center stuff from Japan is kind of like a giant pain in the butt. Because it's you can get stuff on their website, but if you don't live in Japan, you can't order from them. So then you have to do the whole middleman thing, and you have to like, oh, can you get this for me? And then you have to pay a bunch of extra fees and stuff, and it's kind of just a pain in the butt. I'll keep an eye on eBay, see if they pop up there, because a lot of that stuff usually does. Internationals is still over a month away, so I don't feel like waiting that long. I was going to say I could wait until Internationals, and one of the vendors will probably have a bunch of that stuff, but that's a long way to wait. I don't want to wait that long. But I'm hoping they just come to the U.S. Pokemon Center store. But
that would be cool. Like, I don't even have a deck for it to be used. I'm like, what if that would fit my cell phone? Credit cards?
What phone do you have? It might.
I have the Google Pixel, so...
I think it's too big. If it's taller than a car, then it probably won't fit.
Yeah, no. But I got credit cards that'll fit in, so.
Yeah.
Go back to my iPhone 4.
I've got so many deck boxes, and like it's stupid to get excited over a deck box because I'm like, I literally have like 50 deck boxes scattered around my house. And I'm like, I don't need this one. Like, I just bought, I don't want to say just bought, but I bought, like, these ones. You can't freaking see it. Well, they can, but you guys can't. Sorry, guys. it's the Ultra Pro, and it can hold, like, two decks inside. I don't know why you'd want to carry two decks, because I feel like I'll just get confused at tournaments. But the bottom portion is a little container for dice and stuff.
Oh.
And cool. So, like, these are great. I'm like, I'll use these for tournaments. But then they're like, hey, here's a faux leather Umbreon one. And I'm like, nice. So here I am wanting a $20 Umbreon deck box from Japan, even though I've already got, like, the perfect setup for tournaments. It doesn't have an Umbreon on it, so.
So
Umbreon's pretty.
Some of the cards for the third set of the Sun and Moon cards have started to get a little leak, and one of them is Ho-Oh GX, and I gotta say that thing is beautiful looking.
Oh. It is. Both Ho-Oh and Necrozma have beautiful art. Though the GX artwork in general is gorgeous. Like, they're knocking it out of the park with the GX ones, and it's weird because generally the full arts were always the really pretty cards.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of like, well, the normal ones, I think, are almost prettier than the full art ones are now. And so, like, Ho-Oh and Necrozma are great. They're not terrific cards. I think Ho-Oh definitely has a place, especially in the hopeful rise of the fire types, because they just can't seem to work right now. Because his GX attack, like, gets you, like, 3 or 4 fire Pokemon or something like that. Something really crazy like that. And you just like plop them on your bench. I'm like, that's fantastic. This is great. It might be discard pile now that I think about it because it's Ho-Oh. So I'm like, well, this is awesome. But it's just one of those things where I'm not sure if it's going to work as nicely as I want it to. But I'm definitely hyped for Ho-Oh. Necrozma is aggressively okay. But his art is terrific because Necrozma just looks cool. He could just stand there and Necrozma looks cool. So it's like, whatever. Actually, Ultra Beast. Yeah, I'm really curious on how... Yes, hi, Milo. how they're going to handle Ultra Beasts in the card game. Because like, I really want them to do their own thing with it. Way back in Diamond and Pearl era, there was a subset of Pokemon that belonged to the Frontier Brains and the Elite Four and Gym Leaders and stuff, and they were all tagged with specific things. Like, all the Elite Four ones were, like, Electivire 4. And the Frontier Brands were all FB. And the Gym Leaders were all GL, I think. Unless I'm blanking and there weren't Gym Leader ones, but I'm pretty sure there was. But anyway. And so, like, I want them to do something like that with the Ultra Beasts. Like do... I'm blanking on Ultra Beast names.
Well,
Nihilego... And just write like UB at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So then with that in mind, you can do a whole subset of trainer cards that do things to the Ultra Beasts, like heal Ultra Beasts or search for Ultra Beasts or attaches to an Ultra Beast that gets an extra attack or more HP or whatever it is. And because I want Ultra Beasts to be special. I don't want them to be overpowered by any stretch mm-hmm. of the imagination, but I do feel like they deserve to be a little bit special and a little bit gimmicky. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with that. I mean, they'll probably just end up making normal Pokemon, and I'll just be sad all day. Aww. But but I'm hoping, at the very least, they do some cool Ultra Beast stuff. So
yeah, I just really want a Kartana card. That's all. I just want the Kartana.
That'd be awesome.
Like full art Kartana, that'd be amazing looking.
Kartana.
It's for Ultra Beast, and oddly enough, it's not even electric, so.
Breaking out of your mold.
Steel. It's steel type. It's part steel.
There you go.
There you are, halfway there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just this morning, they announced a Kiawe's card.
Ooh,
which is actually pretty cool. It lets you search for 4 fire energy from your deck and attach them to one of your Pokemon. Doesn't even have to be a fire Pokemon.
Huge.
Your turn ends, but in the card game, if you're going first, you can't attack anyway. So if you can use Kiawe on your first turn, there's literally no drawback to using this supporter on your first turn. And I'm like, this is great. Cause fire's in this really weird place where unless it's Volcanion, it can't work. Like just not enough stuff there.
You mentioned that like a few minutes ago, what's going on with fire? Like it's just not an effective thing right now or what's.
Yeah. Like I said, unless it's Volcanion, cause Volcanion has a whole bunch of just really good stuff going for it. Volcanion EX has, I mean, just the base EX in general is discard a fire from your hand and your basic fire Pokemon do 30 more damage. And so you line your bench with like 2 to 3 of those. And the basic Volcanion, the non-EX one, for 1 fire does a base 20 damage. And you can search your discard for 2 fire energy and attach them to any of your, basic fire Pokemon on your bench. So you use the EXs to discard energies to power up the attack of the main one and then attach them to the Volcanions with the attack. And so the deck just has massive amounts of synergy. And so it's great. But you try to do anything else with any other fire Pokemon, and it's just clunky. There isn't any good fire cards. Like, Incineroar came out, and it had a whole bunch of potential, but being a Stage 2, it takes a while to get out, because you have to rely on either Torracat or the Rare Candy Trainer card. So you're sitting there like, okay, it takes me forever to get this guy out, and the format, unfortunately, is still very basic-driven. We're finally getting to more evolution-based decks, which is fantastic. Because we've had probably about 2 years of decks that were strictly just basic Pokemon. Because all EXs are basic Pokemon, no matter what level they are.
Right.
So it was just like a whole bunch of basic Pokemon. If you played Evolutions, you were done.
Oh, jeez.
you couldn't compete.
That's nuts. it's like counter to the entire sort of like draw of what Pokemon was.
Yeah, exactly.
You raise these Pokemon and you make them stronger and bigger.
Yeah, and they're like, well, here's EXs, they're all basics and they're really powerful, go have fun. I'm like, no, this isn't fun. Like, that was one of the reasons I started doing so much in terms of tournament organizing and judging, is just because I wasn't having fun playing anymore. Like, I would play casually, no problem. Like, that was great, but doing big tournaments and stuff, it was just, it was draining and boring, and it was just the same thing over again. But thankfully, it seems like with Sun and Moon, they're trying to push evolutions more and more. And the game, hopefully they don't reprint certain things. The game will hopefully slow down come September when they do a format rotation. Because a lot of the really quick things that are making this game super fast are rotating out. And so the standard format should hopefully slow down significantly, focus a ton more on evolution, and everything will be happy, and I might have fun again. So,
what's the set that'll be rotating out? Because I can't remember how far back. Because isn't it? It's always a window, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right now, it's Primal Clash onward is legal. But we don't really know what the rotation is going to be. It will definitely be rotating out Primal Clash and Double Crisis. Roaring Skies and Ancient Origins. Those are for sure getting rotated. And so the tournament scene loses things like Shaman EX, Hoopa EX, Trainer's Mail. It's mostly Hoopa and Shaman that I'm really excited about. Forest of Giant Plants gets rotated, and that is basically like the card form of an STD, and it is the worst. And so, like, those are like the big four. Oh, Versus Seeker gets rotated too. Lysander gets rotated. Lots of big cards in the format are going to get rotated. Should they not get reprints? And like I said, it'll slow everything down significantly. And I'm looking forward to that so much.
Will that just naturally kind of empower fire types, or do they need to do something proactive to allow for fire type cards to make sense again?
I think Kiawe is a good step forward in helping fire types again, but I think with a lot of those key cards that are making other decks so quick, once those are gone, stuff like Incineroar is on a fairly even playing field in terms of speed with even stuff like Decidueye, which right now, because of Forest of Giant Plants, is like the quickest thing alive right now. For those that don't know, Forest of Giant Plants is a stadium card that lets grass Pokemon evolve immediately. So you don't have to wait the turn. You play the Rowlet, you play the Darkrai, you play the Decidueye all in one turn.
Oh, nice.
And
that seems insane.
It is. It's absolutely broke. And there is a Vileplume that's going to get rotated out right now that makes it so you can't play trainer cards. No, item cards. Item cards. A subset of trainer cards. And so, like, one of the biggest decks out right now is Decidueye Vileplume. Because Decidueye can poke other Pokemon from the bench with its ability. And then Vileplume's ability stops item cards, so you literally can't do much of anything. It's gross. And wow. This card needs to get rotated ASAP, and I'm hoping they do something to a ban list or something to force it out at Worlds, because I'm really just tired of seeing it, to be honest. Not that I'm going to Worlds or anything, but...
Overpowered grass still. Pokemon. It's almost like I was in charge.
So it's your fault. No, so like I'm really looking forward to September, because one, we'll have the third Sun and Moon set by then, so we'll have all sorts of new stuff to play with. Things are going to be rotated, and the format will hopefully be slower and fun and not filled with disease. So that's nice. Where I'm at. Nice. So, that was my tournament health rant. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
It's always interesting to me, yes. Because I'm not tapped into it. You know, I don't see it, and so it's cool to kind of get some of that stuff.
Yeah, I live it every week.
Another thing going on Japan-wise, and this is a little off-topic from the cards, but we had shared this up onto our Facebook or Twitter page, but apparently there's going to be life-size Eevee and Eeveelution dolls coming to Japan this summer.
What?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, so the Eevee is $30. Not too bad, you'd think. But then the rest of the evolutions are $200.
Okay, thanks, Japan.
I still need them, though.
yeah.
All right, I still need them. It's a little hard to see, but you can. They show you like a person compared next to like the Espeon.
Uh-huh.
And I'll see if I can show you real quick.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You guys can't see this, but it's like I'm assuming the person's probably like 5.5 feet tall, right?
Well, so imagine that. 50 centimeters. So.
Oh, my gosh. It like goes up past that little figure's waist. It's huge. Yeah.
I would say the ears of Espeon go just below the shoulder line.
Okay. Is it? I'm hesitant. Eeveelutions. Is it all of them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What?
All of them.
Oh my gosh.
And then, hard to see because there's a glare right there, but you can see the Eevee compared to like the rest of the Vaporeon.
Oh, it's so cute. So they're hoping that Eevee's like the gateway drug to the other ones. Like once you have the Eevee, you couldn't possibly not get the other ones.
Like, I really want that Jolteon, but I'm like, I don't have $200 to just drop on the spot like that. Like,
I know, right? Kyle, you and I need to win the lottery. This podcast isn't making us enough money.
No, it's not. and then I know also with Eeveelutions, Toys R Us is doing an exclusive Eeveelution each month up until December.
Oh, I'm overwhelmed. Is
it a plush or?
I remember seeing. Let me see. I don't know if it was an email or. I really don't delete my emails.
Oh, I can't. I just. Which one would I get first? Oh, this is so difficult.
I kind of need my Umbreon.
That's the one that I lean towards, but I feel like. Like 9, 11, I don't remember how old I was, but like 11-year-old me or 10-year-old me would be like all about that life-size Vaporeon. Like this is like a dream come true for me as a child. And me as an adult, let's be real.
Yeah, Japan's on this huge Eeveelutions kick right now. Like they're just doing all sorts of Eevee merchandise. I'm not even complaining. I'm complaining a little bit because I can't afford to buy all of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool stuff, though. It's all cool stuff.
So, did you guys see the I Love Magikarp song that they posted?
Yes. Oh, yes.
It is the most ridiculous thing ever, and yet I watched it twice, and I'm like, I don't know how... It's addictive. there it is. Okay. I just had to fill that in right quick because I had to find the link, but I found it. Okay, so they're plushes. Basically, it goes like this. May is Vaporeon. June is Flareon. July is Jolteon. August, Umbreon. September, Leafeon. October, Sylveon. November, Espeon. And then December, Glaceon.
That so order?
Like they start to go in order. And then they kind of just like, let's scramble up a bit. Like, I understand Glaceon being December. You know, you want, like, the ice Pokemon with the Christmas theme. But let's put, like, Umbreon in October for the dark and the Halloween.
That's what I would have expected.
Leafeon in September, I can understand, because, you know, leaves are falling and whatnot. But then, like, Sylveon and Espeon, I'd probably put, like, Espeon and... Actually, Espeon... Yeah. I don't know. But I just gotta wait 3 months for Jolteon. That's all that matters to me.
I just thought about how cool Leafeon would look if it like were in sync with autumn, like if it changed color in the autumn or in the fall.
It does in black and white.
What?
Yeah, it changes. The leaves on it change.
Oh my gosh!
Just like
why
Deerling.
Didn't I know this until right now? I knew about Deerling. I must have had not Leafeon.
Yeah, you just blew my mind. Well.
On the plus side, these Eevee things are only at Toys R Us, so they're going to be a lot easier to collect.
Yes.
And getting the plush at GameStop was the most horrendous thing I've experienced.
Are you talking about the three basics?
The mythical ones from last year. The ones that GameStop had. Because GameStop was like, yeah, we have like two of them. I'm like, oh, cool, guys. Thanks.
My GameStop at least had more of like the Sun and Moon starters, which was nice, but they ran out of Rowlets like instantly. So, although I'm not really surprised because like everyone's like obsessed with Rowlets. But we have Popplio and Litten.
I'm looking at these Eevee plushes and it's they show six of them on Pokemon.com. And
yeah.
They're all happy except Umbreon, who just has this frown on its face. Like, it's so tired of everyone's crap.
Espeon's not really, or Flareon's not really looking that happy either. Have a smile. Okay, now I see its mouth blends in with its skin color.
Yeah, yeah, I had to zoom in.
Yeah.
Umbreon is just really ticked off. Umbreon, this is why I love you. I connect on an emotional level.
I already have a Jolteon, so I don't know.
I have all of these. Like, not they're not smiling. They're not happy Eevees. They're all just default Eevees. But they're ready, you know what? Me. They're exclusive and at Toys R Us. So guess who's buying every single one of them? Because I have problems.
Mine's not happy like that one.
He's just kind of default.
Yeah.
Now I got to hunt down that happy Eevee that Tomy made to go with all these happy except for Umbreons.
So, speaking of Tomy, apparently they won't be doing the licensing anymore for the toys.
This is weird. All right. Let's history lesson a bit.
Yay.
Yay.
All right, so way back in Generation 1, when Pokemon was huge and booming, and it still is, so I don't want any of you naysayers out there. not that any of them would be listening to this if they were naysayers, but anyway. Way back in Gen 1, Hasbro had the distribution rights for Pokemon. And granted, most of what they produced was basically just what Tomy released in Japan, Hasbro packaged and released here in America. Because like everything we got with those little like weird Game Boy shooter thingies, those were all Tomy products in Japan that Hasbro just packaged up here in the US and was like, hey, look, here's Pokemon. Love it, kids. And of course I bought everyone, but that's not the point. And so Hasbro had license up all the way through Gen 3. But when Gen 3 hit, they started, and a little bit, Milo, calm down. around Gen, probably Master Quest-ish era, okay. Somewhere around there. Hasbro started making their own Pokemon toys instead of releasing Tomy's. So we got like cool like action features, Scyther figures, and all this fun stuff. The Ruby Sapphire line for Pokemon toys was actually really fun to collect because there was all these like action feature Pokemon and a whole bunch of cool plushes and Pokedex toys and all that. So they had that all the way through. I think it was the end of Gen 3, because when Battle Frontier started in the anime, that's when Jack Specific got the license for the U.S. It switched over to Jack Specific, and they were releasing a whole bunch of like PVC figures that weren't the Tomy ones. They were very similar in style too, but They weren't exactly the Tomy ones, but they were all like really big and heavy and fat. So I can relate. and so Jack Specific had the license all the way through Diamond and Pearl. So basically everything Diamond and Pearl related was all Jack Specific's doing. And then when Black and White hit, Jack's lost the license again. And I don't say again, it was the first time they lost the license, but it was the second company to lose the license. And Tomy USA started just doing it themselves. So with Black and White, and until now, they've just been releasing basically the same stuff that they release over in Japan. A lot of what we get are straight out of the Monster Collection toys and all the plushes. A lot of the Tomy plushes and stuff make their way over here. And obviously we got the Z-Ring and all the Z-Crystals. Mm-hmm. That was all Tomy as well. And so they just kind of, whatever they released over in Japan, they're like, hey, we'll box it up. We'll release it over here. And then I think some of these are exclusive. I believe, actually, the articulated figures that Tomy was releasing, like the Mewtwo and Mega Lucario and Mega Blaziken, Greninja, and stuff like that, those all actually released here first. Hmm. And then they released in Japan significantly later. And I don't even think they got all of them. I think they got Mewtwo and Greninja, I think. I think that's it. And so we're getting a bunch of cool, like, exclusive stuff, too. And, I mean, cool is a subjective term. But I like the articulated figures a lot. They're really cool. Unfortunately, it seems that Tomy USA doesn't care a whole lot anymore, which, I mean, I don't entirely blame them. The toys aren't really flying off shelves or anything like that. It's the license is getting transferred to Wicked Ghoul Toys, which I feel is a very pompous name. But,
90s.
Yeah, it does. Wicked cool. I'm like, yeah, you're neat. and so starting in 2018, they're going to be doing all Pokemon toys for the U.S. However, it does say somewhere in like the little press release that Tomy will still be making some toys. Like it specifically mentions stuff like the Z-Ring. I'm like, well, the Z-Ring's been out for like 6 months now, so this isn't going to apply in 2018. starting in July 2018, so it's over a year before like they start doing stuff. I have no idea what exactly that means for the Pokemon merchandise in the U.S. It could be a situation like early Hasbro or Tomy USA, where it's just basically U.S. licensed versions of all of the Tomy toys. They could be making their own toys. I'm not familiar with Wicked Cool Toys to know if they actually make Wicked Cool Toys. So I have no idea what this means exactly, but the Pokemon has like a merchandise line here in the U.S. It's not so much a problem in Japan because Tomy's just like, it's mine forever. And Takara Tomy just has had it since the dawn of time. But like here in the U.S., it just keeps bouncing around. Like it went from Hasbro to Jax to Tomy, now to Wicked Cool Toys. So I have no idea what they're doing, but it's really weird.
Okay. So I just Google searched Wicked Cool Toys. Right now they have the Teddy Ruxpin. Cabbage Patch Dolls or Cabbage Patch Kids, Girl Scout Cookie Oven.
Oh,
they have WWE toys.
Oh, okay.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So what stuff they make for turtles?
So you click on
Master Chef.
Okay. That's basically it. They have the Master Chef Turtles. So I would not be surprised if we get a what do you say, like a Charmander Easy Bake Oven?
I would buy it.
All right, WWE, what do they have besides possibly an oven for them too? Oh, okay. They got a giant cage ring for WWE. Microphone, another ring, another caged ring.
They do have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pizza oven.
Yeah. So it looks like they do better with just like I don't actually see like any actual action figures itself besides this the Rock figure, which looks like it's probably like one of like those tall like foot like maybe like a foot and a half tall ones that you usually see at like the toy stores. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Like I my particular thing is I just don't know how to feel. Like if they're just licensing out Tomy's toys from Japan, I'm not too worried about it. But if they're making their own stuff and like this is all they have to show for themselves is some ovens and Cabbage Patch and a giant cage for your WWE figures, I have no idea how to think about they this exactly.
Cat paws.
The original cat paw. Yeah.
A friendly yet feisty toy.
It's okay. It's literally just a cat paw on a stick.
Weird.
My hope is draining as I go through this company's website.
Teddy Ruxpin. What you got for Teddy Ruxpin? The actual doll?
Maybe we'll get a Teddy Ursa Ruxpin.
I'd buy that too, let's be real.
Yeah, I would. Especially if it like talked during Pokemon episodes. That'd be fun.
Alright, so speaking of Pokemon episodes, nice segue there, Doug.
It was all planned.
Hey.
Yes. Okay, so, America, we finally got Sun and Moon episodes.
Woo!
Finally. Super happy about it. I want to say it was Canada who got like the first 8 episodes like about a month ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I'm caught up to like episode 8. As of this recording, like I said before, Episode 3 has been released, although 4 might have come out this morning. I don't know.
I think it actually airs this afternoon. It's like at 4 o'clock or something.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Although it beats Cartoon Network's like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh. Yeah, exactly. Like they said, that's probably why they got fed up. Like it aired at some absurd time. Yeah. And like Saturdays on Disney XD, I think it's on at 9 or something, which I still feels early for today's youth, but it's a much more reasonable time.
It's a little bit, like I remember back in the day when it was on WB, like it used to be pretty early too.
Yeah. It was on it, I believe, like, I'm trying to think.
Sometime between 8 and 11, I can tell you that much.
I think it was on at 9 o'clock Eastern. Because I used to go to church super early so that I could come home and watch it. Like, I didn't go with my family. I went with, like, my mom. But still, that's not 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, that's crazy early.
Yeah. So we finally do got the episodes. If you've already seen the first 2 episodes, or in Doug's case, the first episode.
And the third episode.
But we got the first 2 episodes back in like December, and then there's like been this long hiatus. Whoa. I understand you want to give Japan time to get their bearings and whatnot.
The thing is, they didn't even need to give Japan time because Japan was already like 12 weeks ahead or something like that.
Well, when episode 1 and 2 came out, we were only 17 days behind. Thank you, Bulbapedia, for that. And then now we're like 170 days behind almost.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 3 through 8 came out in Canada. I've watched them all, but 3 and 4 come out. We'll talk about episode 3 and maybe like future episodes. We'll discuss more episodes as they go on and we'll keep up with the anime.
Yay.
So that'll give us a little bit more to talk about each episode, but episode 3, Ash gets his Rotom deck.
Kyle could not text me fast enough.
I don't know if it's the voice or just... No, it's the voice. Enough of the voice. And I don't know. It's just... It's basically their way of reintroducing Pokemon to new fans by having the Rotom Dex be the questioner, basically.
Yeah.
Of everything. So, because, like, each season, usually, like, they'll explain things. Like, last season, it was Bonnie. They would explain it to Bonnie and Serena a little bit about how to catch Pokemon and stuff like that. And, like, before that, it was... Actually, I don't think there really was one in Black and White.
Ash was just dumb again?
No, actually, it was Iris. Iris was just saying Ash was a little kid and was like, oh, you gotta do this first, you gotta do this instead, and just whatnot. And then there was, Dawn, and then May and Max, and whatnot. So this time, it's a Pokédex. So congratulations, you're learning through the Rotom Dex if you've never watched Pokemon before.
And quick update to what I said. Apparently, episode 4 was on at 9 today. It's the weekday that they're on at 4.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's cool. So this way you don't have to miss it when you go to school.
Yeah. Come home and watch Pokemon.
Awesome. Come home from school and go watch Pokemon. Have fun, kids.
That's the way to do it.
Exactly.
Okay, so like I said, Kyle texted me like following his finishing episode 3 to say like, let me know when you get to episode 3 because Rotom Dex is awful or something. I don't remember exactly what his words were, but it was basically like...
So there's going to be a Pika in a second.
But I just watched it today, and I don't think it was that bad. But watching, you know, 5 episodes of it, I could see being somewhat grating. Because in the third episode, it's like about him. Sorry.
I'm kind of with Doug. I it's not the best, but I feel like I've dealt with worse, especially in the Pokemon anime.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I dealt with an entire like 3 seasons of Bonnie. I feel if I can get through Bonnie, I can get through anything.
Oh, so we haven't talked about the anime at all yet, actually, because we waited to...
Well, we talked about, like, the first
2 episodes, but we mentioned it a little bit. Episode. Yeah, because we had to address the beware. I don't appreciate, Kyle, you not letting me know that beware appears again.
Well, I don't give you too many spoilers.
I'm still traumatized from the first time.
I'm traumatized by Mimikyu.
Oh my gosh. So this is the episode where they introduce Mimikyu. And like, I knew that it was creepy and I knew that the anime kind of like pushed it a little bit, like pushed the envelope. But like Meowth straight up dies and like is on the verge of being like totally dead. And then comes back to life and is like describing his like near-death experience. And Mimikyu keeps making these like super creepy noises and like creepy moving its body, like sort of like a game character almost. And we never know exactly what it's saying because Meowth is usually our translator, and Meowth refuses to translate the terrible things that Mimikyu is saying. Like, what? Like, what is it saying?
Mimikyu is like this adorable thing that we're like programmed to feel sorry for, and then all of a sudden the anime is like, no, it's the devil. And you don't know what to feel or what to think, because here you are going, I feel so bad for Mimikyu, it just wants love. And then Meowth's here dying, saying that it's basically like the Pokemon equivalent of Satan, so I don't know.
Okay. So I found the text I sent you, Doug.
Yeah.
Basically, I said, this Rotom Dex is Pikachu annoying. And then I think the next day I text you saying, I'm all caught up. Episode 7 is my favorite, but wow, I want to punch the Rotom Dex. Like, Rotom Dex is literally a character.
Uh-huh.
And what? Although I have to say, though, the funniest part is when the Rotom Dex finally sees Ash's battling style.
Oh, boy.
Because you know how Ash fights completely bonkers, doesn't go by any type advantage.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not going to try and give away too many spoilers, but basically the Rotom Dex is like, wait, what? No, no. Why are you doing this? I'm confused. This does not compute.
That I will appreciate, because that's like a little in-joke almost. I do like... So I still haven't finished. I've not come anywhere near finishing X and Y or even starting XYZ, but I'm actually further in than I thought I was. And one thing that I have appreciated is that even though they glorify Ash's battling style, they frequently acknowledge that it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like the people that he battles or the people that he encounters are like, what are you doing? That's not how that works. So even though the ultimate moral is like, Ash does whatever he wants, and because he's battling from his heart, it works. At least there are people along the way being like, what? What are you doing? Yeah. So I'm glad the Rotom does the same thing.
Yeah.
Wait, no. That. Okay. Mm. Oh, he won. Welp.
So I think both of you will appreciate, especially you, Brian, you'll appreciate episode 7.
Which one's
it's
7?
It's a Litten-based episode.
Ooh.
Is that... No, the sad one's a lot later, right? Yeah.
It's a little sad, but there... Let me just put it this way. The Litten reminds me a lot of my cat. It's just got a lot of sass with it.
Ah!
So
I know how that goes.
We just see like a cat fly across Brian's screen. And Brian goes down.
He's too busy eating.
I am excited to keep watching. I think when I watched the first episode, I watched that one in Japanese, right? Kyle, didn't we initially watch that one in?
Because isn't that? I never watched any of them in Japanese.
I might have, though.
Okay.
Because I think that Beware makes a different noise in the Japanese one than he does in the American one. Mm. In the Japanese, he just shrieks.
Yeah, it's really terrifying.
Horrifying. It is absolutely horrifying. So I think one thing that was nice to watch the American dub is the voice acting is like pretty solid. I mean, not that it's changed a whole lot, but... you know, having jumped around the show so much and having voice acting changes stand out so much to me because of that, I wasn't bothered watching. Has the whole voice cast just returned for this season as well?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Wubba Fett is back too.
Hey!
Look, I wouldn't mind Wubba Fett if he didn't come out every episode and just, like, interrupt completely.
Why did they leave all of their Pokemon in a different region, but they brought Wobbuffet?
Well, I don't...
Because Wobbuffet is basically like Meowth at this point.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
at least they didn't...
Jesse needs an unfair advantage over James by always having one Pokemon.
Yeah. At least they didn't release any of them. You know what I mean? Although, I don't know. I don't know which one's better. I don't know if it's better to release them in the show, so that's the explanation, or just like, we left them at home.
Yeah.
I feel like their rooms in Team Rocket headquarters in Kanto is just like all their Pokemon just sitting there chilling.
Yeah.
For like a year.
Yeah.
Not getting electrocuted. They're living a life.
Yeah. It's probably the life for them.
Yeah.
Not getting defeated.
I think, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, basically, now you guys saw the Beware carry off Team Rocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, that keeps happening.
Is that their,
I love it.
Like their new, we're blasting off.
Blasting off again, yeah. We're being carried off again.
Do they actually say that?
I don't think so.
Oh. I hope they don't.
Yeah, they don't blast off anymore. Basically... Well, they kind of blast off, and then Beware will just show up, catch them, and just start, like, running away.
That's so weird.
It is, and I kind of love it.
So, like, haunts my nightmare.
Yeah, so Beware. I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually do catch Beware, or if that's going to be like their unofficial, like that'll be like the deli bird from the Johto region.
Mm. Probably.
Yep.
But I still can't believe, no, I can't say that. Never mind. I can't say anything else because I guess I haven't seen that. I got to be careful here.
Well, I guess we're going to have to catch up fast.
Yes. But you're not that far behind. I mean, yeah. Not what America is compared to Japan. So.
Well, and I've broken the ice now, you know?
Yes. Yes. And we're all starting off at like the same level. So like, it's not like X and Y where like I was pretty much caught up and like, Doug, you were just starting.
Oh my God. Yeah. Every once in a while, I just like put it on while I'm doing chores and I'll knock out a big chunk of it and then I'll like forget to watch it for a while and then I'll do that again and then just the cycle repeats. Yeah. So I was kind of blown away at how long, and I guess other season, like other series did this too, but it, I was surprised at how long it took Ash to get through like three of the X and Y gym leaders. Like it's almost an entire like 50 episodes, I think. But I guess when there are three separate, you know, seasons of it, it makes sense.
Yeah, it, the anime's pacing is really weird at times.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like it's just moving really fast, and then all of a sudden it's like just a span of which nothing happens. Like, I can't remember if it was XY or Black and White, but there was a point where there was an entire season of no gym battles.
What?
Wow.
That's insane. And
it was ridiculous and kind of boring.
What did they even do?
Black and White.
So it was probably Black and White because Black and White was terrible.
It was. But
that's so upsetting. What do you do for an entire 50 episodes if you don't get any badges?
Help the little old lady.
Oh, okay. 50 times.
50 times. Not much.
Hmm. Well, this one looks promising.
Yeah. Sun and Moon seems to have a fairly decent balance of like quirky one-offs and actual like plot-related things, if you want to call it plot-related things. But I'm hoping it amounts to something pretty cool. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of X and Y until the later bits, because the like XYZ as a whole was just really good.
It was.
I liked a ton about XYZ.
Oh, especially the finale.
Yeah, like my favorite bits of the Pokemon anime are when they do very plot driven things. So it's usually the third of the three seasons that a region usually takes place in. I usually feel like the first two are kind of fillery and you could cut out a whole bunch of episodes and miss nothing. But like the third one is when they start like bringing in a whole bunch of these characters from the games and the evil teams start doing stuff. And
yeah,
it makes it really exciting. Like yeah, Black and White had the whole stuff with N, which I thought was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then XYZ had Lysander and Team Flare and Zygarde and
I want to say and all that stuff. So kind of did that too, but like they had like a few episodes sprinkled in with Team Galactic, and then it wasn't really until like the end when they really started doing it all.
Yeah, there was a lot of things I liked about Diamond and Pearl and Ruby Sapphire's anime era, but that's a topic for a different day.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that pretty much wraps it all up. So far, I'm enjoying the anime. A lot more pleased than I thought it was going to be after seeing the artwork originally. I was completely put off, but it's definitely working for me. I still don't like the strange anime reactions that they get sometimes where like their face completely changes to a different person almost.
Yeah.
I could do without that, but other than that, it's a different change, and it's slowly growing on me, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I can completely agree with that. The art style didn't bother me a whole lot at first. I thought, well, it's just a new art style, it's whatever. Then I saw the weird anime reaction faces, and I was like, and I mean, like, it, watching what I've watched, it doesn't bother me a huge amount. I could still do without it, but I also realize it's something that Japanese kids are very much used to now with their programming in Japan, so it's just kind of something that we have to deal with.
Yeah. I do like the soft, like the, I don't know how else to describe it other than softer animation. And I guess the reason I say that is because, like, if you think of James, it's like kind of jagged, but now it's almost like rounded off. Same with Ash's hair. So it's a little bit more cartoony, but it all looks pretty smooth and nice. So, but yeah, the anime faces, like, I could take or leave them. So, you know.
Yeah.
Did we... We didn't ask a question this week, did we?
I asked what people's thoughts were of the Magikarp song, but no one responded, so I'm gonna take that as they were speechless.
We were all so taken aback with awe.
That was my general reaction. We played it at my Pokemon League yesterday.
Nice.
And I was just dying. Like, it was, that was the first time I heard it, and I'm just sitting here like, oh my god, this is something that actually exists. And it's not fan made, and Pokemon actually made it. I'm like, first Slowpoke, now this.
Well, there was also that Pikachu song that they made a while back where it's literally just Pikachu saying Pikachu over and over, but it's like in a song rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tree growing or whatever.
We forgot to mention the most important Pokemon related news story of all, which was although that's cool too. No, the deflated Pikachu getting like tackled off stage.
Yes. That was the greatest thing that I saw that entire day.
What in the world was happening? Like, the only thing that I saw that could have made sense was somebody was like, maybe it's dangerous to have the thing deflate while you're in it. But why would they be like, they were like dragging him off stage.
Apparently I watched this enough times and read enough comments to kind of piece this together.
Please fill me in.
So what caught me off guard is that I'm very used to those costumes because they had them at Nationals a ton. Uh-huh. But the ones at Nationals are very hard. They're like probably like a paper mache kind of material and then covered with the fabric and stuff. And so it caught me off guard when I saw one deflating, but then I thought about it. I was like, well, the ones that they dance in are probably kind of like a balloon-esque material that they cover with the fabric instead to make it lighter for the dancing people. And so I pieced that together finally. And so what apparently had happened there is obviously something happened and the head started to deflate and it looked like Pikachu was melting and it was the most hysterical thing I've ever seen in my life. And so the dude in white in this video is one of like the stagehands because you can see a couple more of them in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And so he rushed up to try to escort this Pikachu away and or save its head. I'm not really sure what he was trying to do. And the security guards, the guys in black, thought that it was a fan trying to tackle this Pikachu. And so a swarm of them just run and try to pull the guy away from the melting Pikachu. And I think they finally connect the dots and then they haphazardly escort this Pikachu away through the other Pikachus who are still trying to dance, mind you. So they did this all sorts of bass-ackwards, but it was just this series of events that just kind of got worse and worse as time went on. I mean, it was worse enough that the Pikachu was, like, melting. And then you had the guy trying his best to save this Pikachu, and then the security guards that were also trying to save the Pikachu, but in a different way. And, like, by the end of it, there was, like, 10 people running around these dancing Pikachus trying to get this melting one off the stage. And damn it, those other Pikachus were doing their best to not do anything.
They never stopped dancing. They're perfectly in sync.
All right. So that answers that question. The only question I still have is why were they dancing to Hairspray?
Don't judge them.
Like, because I'm watching this, and like after I see this a couple times, I'm starting to think, wait a minute. That's a song from Hairspray. Why are they dancing to Hairspray?
Oh, all right. All right, three we need to solve.
Oh, Pikachu Detective, come to us.
My face hurts from laughing at this.
Like, it was one of the first things I saw when I woke up that morning. I just clicked it, and then I watched this Pikachu melt, and I'm like, oh my god, and I just started cackling.
Fantastic.
Yeah. yes, that was definitely the highlight during the month hiatus, I have to say.
It all led up to the melting Pikachu.
True.
Yes.
True.
Just a heads up for everyone, we do actually have a few t-shirts out now. We have the I Like Magnemites Before They Were Cool shirts, which has Magnemite wearing hipster glasses. And I have to say, it is some of my best work out there. And then we also have our Victory Road to Pokemon Podcast logo t-shirt, where it's basically just there on the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently I uploaded a small size, and I'm just sticking with the pocket size right now.
It looks nice, though. And shout out to Ferris on Twitter at Forze with 3 Z's, because he's the one who did our logo.
Yes, definitely shout out to him. Thank you for that. You can find our t-shirts on redbubble.com. You can also get stickers of the designs if you want, just a sticker for your car or something like that to show your support. T-shirts, there's a few other things. I think I even did like phone cases or something like that just because you can.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, when you guys buy from there, the money does go to us, and then that'll actually go straight to the show, and that'll basically help us do more contests for you guys. So, mm-hmm. You know, support us, and we support you. It's a circle.
Yeah. The circle.
Just like a Pokeball.
Just like a Pokeball, exactly.
Yes.
I'm full of terrible jokes today.
That's what our show is.
What, a terrible joke?
Oh, wait, that's my other podcast. I'm sorry. That's my other podcast.
Well, on that note, I think we've pretty much covered everything, yeah?
Yes, we have.
Well, in that case, thank you, everyone.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Always.
And thanks for listening to us and joining us on another adventure along the Victory Road. For information on episodes and contests, or to give us feedback on the show, be sure to find the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Victory Road Pod. And if there's something in the world of Pokemon you know a whole lot about and you'd like to appear on the podcast, just let us know. Until next time, to the Pokemon Center in Japan to wait outside for our life-sized Eeveelution plushies. See you later.
Okay. Time to order that plane ticket.
Bye.
Bye.
Production of the 4Ride Radio Network. For other great shows, check out www.4rideradio.com.
Hey everybody, Eric here to tell you about a special promotion my charity Comicare is running. We are up for a challenge and we need your support. At ComiCare, we spend all year traveling to hospitals and collecting smiles from children and their families, and leave comic books behind to keep the smiles going. Well, now we want to see your smiles, and we want to post them on our pages, too. This July 20th through 23rd, we will bring Arizona Tony Stark to the San Diego International Comic-Con and take on one of our biggest challenges yet. We will have 4 days to collect as many pictures as we can of smiling supporters with Tony. How many can we collect? 100? 300? 500? We'll run for the 1,000 mark, but you never know. Will you pledge a couple of pennies for each photo we collect? Just think, if you pledge just 2 cents per picture and we collect 100 photos, your donation will be $2. If we collect 1,000, $20. Either way, a small price to pay to be part of our continuing mission. We appreciate all your support in the past, and we know you will enjoy being a part of this adventure. So please visit comicare.org/1000smiles. That's comicare.org/1000smiles. Visit our page, click that pledge button, and throw us a couple of cents per smile. You're free to put a cap on your donation so it doesn't get out of hand just in case Tony gets crazy and gets 10,000 smiles. You don't have to worry about getting nuts. Just visit our page at comicare.org/1000smiles and make your pledge today.